I believe we as believers sometimes, I know all of us have the tendency that when we hear things that are not exactly right, and it seems as though those things are more prominent than other truths about subjects, sometimes we want to back off of that. But it's really not good for us to do that, because when we stop our mouths concerning truth, then the false things are all of a sudden in the forefront. They're all already out there. And so tonight I just want to give you some very easy, simple things about the Holy Spirit. Now, we as people of God, we are Trinitarian people. We believe in the Trinity: God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. And we do not believe, as we are accused of, we do not believe in three gods. We believe in one God. He's manifest three ways, three personalities: the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Ghost. And so tonight we need to know where the foundation is and start to build upon that, and just to know what God has given to us in His Word. As we read the Old Testament, you'll find that God, characteristically, He will reveal Himself by different names and different titles. You read through the Old Testament, you'll find different things about the Lord. You'll find things about God. He revealed Himself in the original languages in different names that meant different things. We have He is Jehovah Jireh. We have different combinations of names about the Lord. We've heard the term Elohim. We've heard the term Adonai. We've heard the term Jehovah and El Shaddai, and some of those terms that give us some characteristics of who God is and how He revealed Himself to the nation of Israel, His people. But on the other side, in the New Testament, I believe we also have the Lord characteristically giving to us some names and titles of His Son. We find that He's the light of the world, He's the bread of life, He's the water of life. Just a lot of terms that are given to Him that give us some things about His ministry and some things about the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you could go on and on and on tonight with the bright and morning star and the rose of Sharon and just so many things that depict to us some things about the works of our Savior. And I believe He does the same thing with the Holy Spirit. I believe He gives to us some names and some titles by which we can understand some of the workings and the integral workings of the Holy Spirit into our lives. Each one of the names that we're going to look at tonight reveals something about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And by the way, the Holy Spirit does have a ministry. The Holy Spirit does have a task. He has a job. And may we never be guilty of calling the Holy Spirit an it. He is a person. And he's part of the Godhead. And so when you're talking about God, you're talking about the total summation of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And the Bible gives us some terms and gives us some names of this person that we know of as the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost. And I want to look at them tonight and just notice some things. And I believe one of the things you'll find very prevalent in the work of the Holy Spirit is that the Holy Spirit never draws attention unto Himself. He never stands out in the forefront. He never will put Himself before the Lord or before God the Father. The Holy Spirit is that part of the Trinity that does the underlying work, or maybe what we would call the background work in the lives, in the affairs of people's lives. It is the Holy Spirit that draws us unto the Lord. It is the Holy Spirit that opens our eyes and opens our hearts to the knowledge of salvation. It is the Holy Spirit that deals with us, and He is so very important that the Bible tells us that we're not going to be saved unless the Holy Spirit draws us, and unless He does that work of regeneration and beginning to draw us in the way of the Lord. And so we better understand this personality, this person of the Holy Spirit is very important to us, because without Him we would not go to heaven. You see, Jesus died for our sins, and God sent His Son. His Son gave His life, but the Holy Spirit puts the light, puts the process of us understanding and knowing and giving us some illumination that we would be able to see and be able to understand the work of the Holy Spirit. So tonight in the Gospel of John, chapter number 14 is where we're going to start. And I'll tell you right off the bat here, we've got 10 scriptures we're going to be looking at. And we'll try to do it as quickly as possible and not say a lot, but just give you sort of a Bible study tonight of these things of how the Lord works in our lives. And I've probably used all of these before, and others have done that, and it's very common in the Scripture. But again, we need to have refreshment and refreshing sometimes in our lives so that we can continue on. In John chapter 14, verse number 16, let's begin reading there, and we'll read down through verse 26. John chapter 14, verse 16, "And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him. But ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you, and shall be in you." Now that's a great verse. He's not just on the outside working for us and around us, but the Bible says here that He is going to dwell in us and shall be dwell with you and shall be in you. Verse 18, "And I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you, and yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye shall see me, because I live. Ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words. My Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. And the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." Here the Lord is talking and dealing with this subject of the Holy Spirit. He is dealing with this, what is called in verse number 17, the Spirit of Truth. That's one of the titles that the Bible gives to the Holy Spirit. He is the Spirit of Truth. And as we've read these verses, we find here tonight that He is a Comforter. He is one that will come alongside of us and help us in the midst of trials and tribulations that come our way. The Lord said, "I would not leave you comfortless. I'll send you another Comforter." That means that, first of all, Jesus was the Comforter, but He says, "I'm not going to be here. Men are not going to see me very much longer, but I'm going to send to you another Comforter, and He is that one that is the Spirit of Truth, and the world can't receive Him, but you can receive Him, and you can know the works of this Comforter." The Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, verse 26, very clear that the Comforter is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. He shall teach you all things. And so, you and I tonight, if we want to learn something out of God's Word, then we need to depend on the Holy Spirit to help us. It's not necessarily the books that people write. It's not necessarily the messages that people preach. But if we want real truth that manifests itself in our life, it's what the Holy Spirit teaches us and gives us out of His Word. Now, I'm glad for every person that I can read after. I'm glad for every message that I can hear. But the real truth comes from the wooing of the Holy Spirit and the opening of my heart to teach and to train and to guide and to direct me. According to this verse here, it says He's going to bring things to our remembrance, and He's going to teach us all things. And He comes in the name of the Lord, and so He is that Spirit of Truth. And if He is truth, then I should never have a problem with being deceived. Now, sometimes we are deceived. Sometimes we have folks that teach certain things. We have people that come and they sound good. But if we really let the Lord lead and guide us and help us in our learning and our understanding, I should never be deceived, because the Holy Spirit that tells us here in this book, in this chapter, that Holy Spirit that abides in us is our teacher. He's the one that helps us. He's the one that is our guide and director, and He's that part of the Godhead that guides us and helps us in the walk of life. And so He's the Spirit of truth. Isn't it a wonderful thing tonight that we have truth? I'm glad I have truth. Now, there's a lot of people don't have truth. There's a lot of people that have been deceived. There's a lot of people that have never been presented the truth. There's a lot of folks around this world that's never heard the gospel. They don't have the truth. But you and I tonight, as a believer, we know that He is the Spirit of truth, and He will guide us and direct us in all the paths of life that comes our way. And so tonight, may we understand, first and foremost, what's important is that we be guided by the Holy Spirit. The walk of our pathway, the way that we live, the things that we do, the things that we try to learn. And I believe everything that sometimes we have difficulty with, I believe we can find the answer in this book. I believe we can find the answer somewhere between the covers, between Genesis and Revelation. Because this is the Word of truth, and we have the Spirit of truth that lives in our heart. And so I know He wants me to know truth. And so what would keep me from having truth in my life other than my disobedience and not believing and not trusting the things that He tells me? And sometimes we say, well, that just can't be. Well, there's been some things that I have relearned out of this book that I have said, that just can't be the way it is. But when you take the Bible, when you take the Scripture, and you compare Scripture with Scripture, and the Holy Spirit guides you, and all of a sudden you find out, well, that is the way it can be. Sometimes it goes against our thought pattern. Sometimes it goes against everything we've ever been taught. And sometimes we have to unlearn things in order that we can learn. And we do that by the work of the Holy Spirit in our life. He is that Spirit of truth. Now tonight you can go home and you can turn on whatever those stations are that have all the different ones, you can watch everything you want to. It's like three-ring circus sometimes. Now, they don't have truth. You say, you're judging. No, no. You don't judge when you know what truth is. This is the judge. The Lord is the one. The book is the one that judges. Sometimes I flip through the channels and I just sometimes mesmerize by the way some folks are tricked and deceived by false doctrine. And they'll have their multitudes of thousands of people there, and they'll have all the people and the money that flows. And somebody, I was listening to somebody a while ago, we was flipping the channel, and this guy was standing up, and he said, now, God's given me a new revelation. I told Sharon, I said, He wants money. And it wasn't 30 seconds, he said, I need $300,000. Well, the Lord gave me a revelation too. Click. And so those things, it happens everywhere. But sometimes folks are deceived just because they don't know any better, and sometimes they're deceived on purpose, I think. And so the Holy Spirit is that active part of the Trinity that helps us and trains us and teaches us to warn us to stay away from certain things and to help us to not make those mistakes, and not to fall in those pits, and not to be caught up in things, because He is the Spirit of truth, and He is our guide, and He is our comforter. Turn over to the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 4. 2 Corinthians, chapter number 4. Of course, the Apostle Paul writing to this church of Corinth. 2 Corinthians, chapter 4, verse 13. Let's go back to verse number 8. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also that Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. And having the same spirit of faith. Here's another term here. Having the spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe and therefore have I spoken. You also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise us up by Jesus and shall present us with you. So here we find that not only is the Holy Spirit the Spirit of truth, but the Bible says here he's the Spirit of faith. Now, if we're going to get saved tonight, if we're going to get saved in our life, if anybody's going to get saved, we're saved by grace through faith. There's no other way. I can't make that any plainer than I tried to this morning. There's no other way to heaven except through Jesus Christ, and there's no way through Jesus Christ except through faith. Believing upon him, trusting him for the finished work that has been done. Now, Paul says here that he is troubled on every side, but he's not distressed. Why is that? Well, he had the spirit of faith in him. He says here that I'm persecuted, but I'm not forsaken. I'm cast down, but I'm not destroyed. Always bearing about the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ in his body. Why would Paul be able to do all this and to say all this? The only reason is because he had faith in the risen Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and he received that by knowing that the Holy Spirit is that spirit of faith. And so therefore Paul, he wasn't discouraged with what was going on in his life. He wasn't cast down. He wasn't troubled. He said, sure, all these things are happening to me, but he said, I got the spirit of faith. He said, I've got this that's working in my life. And he says, what I believe, therefore have I spoken. And then he says, you believe, and therefore you speak. And so it's a continual process. It's the work of the Holy Spirit to draw us unto the Lord Jesus Christ and the spirit of faith, that we would not be discouraged in our personal walk and serving the Lord and serving him with the best of our ability. It says here, we have the same spirit of faith. Tonight, if we're saved, if you're a Christian and I'm a Christian, you know what? We have the same spirit of faith. And we have the same. If we're saved, we have the same spirit. It's the Holy Spirit. Now, there is an unholy spirit. There are wicked spirits. There are ungodly spirits. But we that are saved, when we got saved, we received the Holy Spirit. He is the spirit of truth. He is the spirit of faith that helps us to not be discouraged in the walk of life. And we have that same spirit of faith according as is written. And Paul said, I believe. Thank God tonight there's some things we can believe. We can base our life upon what thus saith the Lord. So he's the spirit of truth. He's the spirit of faith. We're quickly going through these. Turn over, if you would, to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 10. Hebrews chapter number 10. The Bible tells us in verse number 26, 27, 28 how that we are to not let sin willfully rule in our bodies, and certainly a fearful judgment of fiery indignation will come upon folks. And by the way, every time I mention anything in Hebrews, I always mention that Hebrews is written to saved people. If you don't study it with that in your mind and that in your heart, you're going to get confused in some of these chapters of Hebrews. And so we find here that in verse number 28, he that despised Moses' law died without mercy unto two or three witnesses of how much sore punishment suppose ye shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. Here we find that the Holy Spirit is not just the Spirit of truth, not just the Spirit of faith, but he's the Spirit of grace. Thank God tonight we are saved by grace. If God looked at our life, and he does, if God searched us, and he does, he would not find not one iota of goodness. Now, a lot of times we don't want to hear that. Well, I'm a pretty good fellow, preacher. Oh, but all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags when compared to his righteousness, Isaiah says. Well, I don't do this, and I don't do that, and I don't do something else. Quit comparing yourself to somebody else and compare yourself to the Lord. Because when we compare ourselves to the Lord, we find out we're pretty bad. When we compare ourselves to Him, then we would say, why in the world? Why would He care for me? Why would He love me? It's just simply because of His grace. He told the people of Israel, He said, I love you because I love you. And I believe tonight, we are saved tonight just simply because He loved us. He didn't love who we were. He didn't love what we were. He didn't love anything about us, but He loved us with an unending, unchanging love and manifest that to us by His grace, that unmerited favor that we did not deserve. As long as a person feels like they deserve something from God, as long as a person feels like they deserve salvation, they're probably not going to get saved. I don't deserve it, but I thank God He gave it to me. I didn't work for it. I couldn't work for it. There's not enough money in the hills of the world to buy it. There's not enough gold in the world to buy one portion of salvation, but it just took the blood of Jesus Christ to accomplish that. And He sent His lovely, darling Son to die upon an old rugged cross, to die as a thief, to die as a sinner, to die ungodly, to die exposed naked toward the world simply because He loved mankind. And that's grace. And the Holy Spirit of God offers that grace to us. For by grace are ye saved. If He didn't offer it to us, we wouldn't even go after it. I have a problem with this new stuff going around about the seeking sinner. I've never seen too many sinners seek until God started the seeking. I haven't seen too many want something from God until God has already worked in their heart and began to draw them, began to persuade them, began to pull upon them. And so we find that that's simply by grace. You know, God didn't have to save us. God was under no obligation to save me. God was not under any obligation to find out where you lived and where you were and do anything. God was not obligated to do that, but thank the Lord by grace He loved us and saved us. And it's all instituted and worked through by the Holy Spirit. He's the Spirit of truth. He's the Spirit of faith. He's the Spirit of grace. Go to Romans now. Back a few pages, the book of Romans, chapter number 1. I guess we could have made a series out of these things. I know we could. Romans chapter number 1 and verse number 4. Let's begin verse 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated into the gospel of God, which he hath promised afore by his prophets unto the in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made and made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared. He was made according to the flesh, the seed of David, but He is declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. Here we find the Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of holiness. If I have the Spirit of holiness living within me, and by the way, I do have, if you're saved, you do have, then we should not have a whole lot of problems with defilement. But we do have. We have problems, this old sin nature that we have, and this old heart that we have, and our flesh that we live in, and all the things that work against us. We have problems with being defiled. But living within me is that hope of a child of God, that holiness of the Lord is in my heart. We as Christians tonight, we can do anything and everything the world does. Only problem is we can't do it and enjoy it. You just don't enjoy it. You say, oh, boy, that looks like I'd like that. And we get involved and say, oh, I don't like this at all. You know what the difference is? What's inside? The Holy Spirit. Because He is the Spirit of holiness. And God said, be ye holy as I'm holy. Now, we don't believe in perfection. Well, I do, but it's not going to happen on this side of eternity. We don't believe in perfection on this side. But I do believe you can live holy. I'm not talking about living perfect, but I believe you can live right to God and serve God and live for the Lord and love God. Serve Him with all your heart and your mind and your soul. And because we have that Spirit of truth, that Spirit of faith, the Spirit of grace, and the Spirit of holiness living within us. So therefore, I can serve Him and do the best that I can. Over the book of Ephesians. Boy, you start running scriptures, you find just a lot of things. Start studying the Bible, we find a lot of things. Ephesians chapter number 1. Verse number 15 says, "Whereof I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ and the Father of glory may give unto you the spirit of wisdom," the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. May He give unto you the spirit of wisdom. Now, I know we have all the Holy Spirit, so He can't give us any more of that, but He can begin to manifest different portions in our life, how that we can grow in the admonition of the Lord. Here we find that Paul desires for these people of the city of Ephesus, the church of Ephesus. He said, I'm going to pray the Lord give you the spirit of wisdom. That Holy Spirit that teaches you and guides you and directs you. It goes back to what I said a while ago. Thank God for books. Thank God for all the... it's so much easier now to study than it was 20 years ago. When I was in college, if I'd had all I had at my availability now then, well, my goodness, I would have enjoyed it a lot better. It'd been a lot easier. Didn't have internet. I first went to college... I should have had a picture made. I took a recorder with me. I wanted to record everything because I couldn't. There's no way I could keep up. And so, that was before cassettes. Oh man, I'm getting old. I still got that old recorder. It's about that big a square. Reel to reel. I'd take that thing to every class. I'd set that little microphone up on that desk and try to be real quiet because it'd take every tick, 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 tick every time he'd write. And I tried to record because I knew I wouldn't retain it. I never had to do anything like that. And then, thank the Lord, all of a sudden they came out with that new kind of recorder that I saw others, and that wasn't about that big. I thought, I believe I can handle that. So I went down to, I don't remember the name of the store, there in Springfield, right there on the main drag, and went down there and bought me a cassette recorder. Buddy, I thought I was uptown. And now the kids go up here and they just punch a button and they have the whole world open to them. It's wisdom. Knowledge. Sometimes I can, when I study now, I hardly ever open a book. I just pop a button, go from one book to another on my computer. So much easier and quicker. Sharon don't have to type my notes out anymore. I just hit print. She typed every note that I had in college. She knew as much as I did. She could preach better than I could. She gave me a lot of messages. Still does. But the wisdom, the knowledge that is so available to us today is astounding. But it's nothing in comparison to what the Holy Spirit can teach us. It's nothing compared to what God in His Word and through my heart and in my life that Paul was praying to these people of Ephesus. I pray the Lord would give you the spirit of wisdom. I'll tell you what, wisdom only comes from God. You can get knowledge from a lot of places, but you have to have wisdom how to use it and how to understand. And so with the spirit of wisdom, I should never be without discernment. I ought to know yes and no, right and wrong. That's the Holy Spirit's work. 2 Timothy, chapter number 1. We'll be here just a minute. 2 Timothy, chapter number 1. Because there's a whole lot mentioned right here in one little verse, the Holy Spirit. 2 Timothy, chapter 1. Verse number 6, "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. God has given us not the spirit of fear. I'm glad, thank God, the Holy Spirit's not afraid of anybody or anything. He doesn't turn back on anything. But God has put within us, and I know this spirit here is talking about the attitude, and it only comes from the Holy Spirit. And He puts within us here the spirit of power. Well, if I have the power of God, then I don't have to be defeated. I can live a victorious life for the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the spirit of power. God gives us the power. The Lord said if you have the faith of the grain of a mustard seed, you can move a mountain. Not necessarily a mountain of stone, but a mountain of your life. A mountain that's almost insurmountable as far as you think, but it just takes the faith of a small grain of mustard seed to do that. Oh, what power we have at our disposal, what power we have in our hands, in our lives, because the Holy Spirit gives us that power that we can be used of Him. And He hasn't given us the spirit of fear, but He's given us the spirit of power. Not only that, but the next thing here is the spirit of love. Therefore, I should never be disloyal to the Lord. He says, I love you and I want you to love me back. The Bible says we love Him because He first loved us. So that's the spirit of love that comes into our heart and our life. And then the spirit of a sound mind. Now, some might disagree with this, but I'm glad we have sound minds. The spirit of a sound mind, that means discernment. You don't have to be disturbed. When I get up in the morning and hear all the bad news, I'm pretty sure that's what will happen. I don't know what tomorrow brings, but I know it's going to be bad news. But I can have a sound mind. I don't have to be troubled. I don't have to be bothered. I don't have to wring my hands and say, oh, dear Lord, what are you going to do? He's already got it under control. And so God gives us, through the work of the Holy Spirit in our life, He gives us a spirit of a sound mind that we don't have to be disturbed about every little detail of life. I'm glad He's the satisfier. He's the comforter. He's the one that comes along beside us and helps us in all these things. He's the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter number 8. We were in Romans 8 this morning in Sunday school. Romans chapter 8, verse number 2, talks about the spirit of life. For the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made me free, free from the law of sin and death. Thank God I'm free. God's given us life. It's the spirit of life that I'm not going to die. Oh, this old body will die. This flesh will die. This flesh body that we have before us one day is going to deteriorate and going to decay and going to be put in a cemetery if the Lord doesn't come. But I'm not going to die. I'm going to live somewhere forever and ever and ever because I'm a living soul. And God breathed in my heart, and when God breathed into man, He became a living soul. He didn't become an animal. He became a living soul made in the image and the likeness of God. So He's given us the spirit of life. And as a believer, as a Christian, we're going to live. We're not going to die. We're going to live forever. What a wonderful thought that is. Oh, I don't think I want to live forever, preacher. Oh, you'll like it the way we're going to live. I wouldn't want to live here forever. I was in a store the other day, and it was just really, really sad. This elderly gentleman was up at the counter, and he was buying something. It was before Christmas, and he's buying something for his wife that was in the nursing home. And he was just distraught, and I mean, you could tell he just wasn't happy. And he told the lady at the counter some of the details about his wife. And he said, you know, he said, I've about come to the conclusion that I've just lived too long. He said, I know when I leave here, I know I'm going to a much better place. And the lady said, well, are you a Christian? He said, oh, yes. He said, I've been saved, and he told how many years. And I was there just listening, and my heart bubbled up in my throat. You know, we can live a long time on this old earth. Sometimes it's too long. Oh, but I'm glad I got a home over there. Something far better. And the Holy Spirit of God has given us the understanding, has given us life. This old body wants to live. It doesn't want to die. But one of these days we will. The then we're really going to start living, because the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of life. But as I listened to that elderly gentleman, and I mean, he was probably in his 80s. He said, "I go feed her every day. I go sit with her until it's time to go to bed." And I told him, I said, "Well, the Lord will bless you for that." He said, "I've just lived too long." And I said, "Well, one thing for sure, we live until the Lord's finished with us." And I said, "Your words today have been an encouragement to me." So the Lord is not finished. God has put within us the Spirit of life. May we live until He takes us home. Then the last one we find in the book of 1 Peter. The book of 1 Peter, chapter number 4, verse number 14. First Peter chapter 4, verse 14. "If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. For the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part He is evil spoken of, but on your part He is glorified." The Spirit of glory. One of these days, thank God, life will change for us. The dull, hard days of life and troubles are going to be over. We're going to be in heaven. Glory will be before us. And Paul says, if you're reproached for Christ, happy are you. Well, we don't suffer anything. We in this country, we don't know what suffering is all about. I get a little periodical about every other month, and it's about persecuted Christians around the world. I have a thing on my phone that I can punch it in, and it tells me which country is having more struggles than anywhere else, and ask you to pray for certain things, because there are struggles out there. There are many persecutions, but one of these days, thank God, the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of glory, will usher us in the very presence of our God. He'll put us right in the place where we need to be and that He wants us. So the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. He's the Spirit of faith. He's the Spirit of grace, holiness, wisdom, Spirit of power, Spirit of love, sound mind, life, and glory. I have a pretty good friend that lives inside of me. A pretty good companion. No wonder the Lord says He's your comforter. Whatever you need, He can handle. Whatever you need, He'll give you. He'll take care of it. As I said earlier, He does not draw attention to Himself. He always points people to the Lord Jesus Christ. He works in the background to bring people to the saving knowledge of the Son of God. That's His task. That's His job. So the next time that you hear somebody just really saying some things that's just not right, just be thankful you have the Spirit of truth. Just be thankful God's opened your heart to some things that are right. And He is that comforter. Jesus is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And the Holy Spirit is the comforter of all of our despairs. So may the Lord help us to serve Him, live for Him till He comes and ushers us into His very presence. Let's stand together tonight.